with a question for my guest or myself, you will receive as my gift a free bottle of EM1 Effective Microorganisms. These amazing fermented microorganisms help break down organic matter in the soil to provide humus for our plants, and it's yours when you call in during this hour with a question for myself or my guest. Here's the number to call. 877-300-7645. 877-300-7645. And I'll repeat it throughout the show when we take breaks and whatnot. Give us a call to tell us how your garden is doing. You know, whatever you want to talk about, a comment about our guests or what our topic is. We always like to hear about you. So this hour, we're going to be talking about fermentation. I'm extremely honored to have one of my favorite food heroes join me for the show this hour. He is a fermentation revivalist and crusader for health, and I'm talking about Sander Elix Katz, also known as Sauerkraut, who is one of the unlikely rock stars of the American food scene, according to the New York Times. Sander Katz is a self-taught fermentation experimentalist. He moved from his native New York City to rural Tennessee 20 years ago and took up gardening. His fermentation explorations grew out of his garden, literally. His first batch of sauerkraut was inspired by an abundance of cabbage in his garden. Fermentation became an obsession, and he experimented widely, leading him to write about what he had learned. His books, The Art of Fermentation and Wild Fermentation, and the fermentation workshops he has taught across North America and beyond, have helped to catalyze a broad revival of the fermentation arts. And now I would like to ask Sander to join me so we can learn more about him, his passion for fermented foods, and his crusade to help make life more healthy. Hello, Sander. Welcome to the Easy Organic Gardener. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
I am delighted. I have to tell you that about 4 years ago, my children gave me for my birthday one of your books, and the reason for that is because I'm kind of crazy about fermentation and fermented foods, and I drink at least one kombucha a day, so I'm kind of like, I think I'm probably off the grid when it comes to most people, but I'm so excited to have you on the show, and thank you. We had a little change in the time this last night, so I'm glad that we didn't get that mixed up.
Yeah. No, I was on top of it. But it's a special pleasure for me to be on a gardening show, because I think, you know, in my own life, like, you know, my interest in fermentation really was an outgrowth of having a garden for the first time. And I mean, I always have loved the flavors of certain fermented things. And as a kid growing up in New York City, it's really sour pickles, what people might know as kosher dills, which are fermented pickles. Cucumber pickles, you know, they were a favorite food, but I wasn't fermenting anything, and I had no specific reason to ferment anything. But the first year that I moved down here and I was keeping a garden, I mean, I was such a naive city kid that it didn't occur to me that all of the cabbage would be ready at the same time, or all of the radishes would be ready at the same time. So, you know, when you know, suddenly this moment arrived when, oh my God, there's two rows of cabbages. What are we going to do with all of these? You know, I remembered how much I loved sauerkraut, and I mean, I literally looked in the Joy of Cooking to learn how to make sauerkraut. And then I started playing around with making country wines out of blackberries and elderberries and blueberries. And, you know, then I started playing with sourdough, and then I started making yogurt and playing around with cheese making. But, you know, it really all grew out of gardening. And, you know, I mean, the way these fermentation processes evolved in different places was, you know, definitely as a, you know, as a result of, you know, sort of, periodic overabundances of things and also periods of relative scarcity and, you know, in temperate climates with limited growing seasons, fermented vegetables have been an important survival food, enabling people to get vitamin C and other essential nutrients, you know, through the period of time when there really isn't, you know, much in the way of fresh vegetables coming out of anybody's garden.
Really, and not to mention those most important probiotics that the more we learn, and particularly just more and more recently, we've been hearing about how important the probiotics are, and of course they're just filled with them. That's the best part about
I mean, probiotics is a brand new word, but all it describes is, you know, bacteria that are supportive of good health. And, you know, despite the fact that, you know, all of us have grown up, you know, in the context of what I describe as the war on bacteria and this, you know, ideology as well as chemical warfare that, you know, just says, you know, bacteria are bad. The only good bacteria is a dead bacteria. You know, despite our indoctrination with this kind of thinking our whole lives, it is becoming, you know, more and more clear that, you know, our functionality is very tied into bacteria. You know, the biologists who count the cells of our bodies, you know, a decade ago came to the conclusion that, you know, the cells that each of us possess that reflect our own unique individual DNA code are outnumbered 10 to 1 by bacteria that we are host to. And these bacteria, you know, they're not parasites. They're not out for a free ride. You know, they give us a huge amount of our functionality. You know, human beings couldn't reproduce without bacteria. We can't digest most nutrients without bacteria. They enable us to assimilate these nutrients. They synthesize certain essential nutrients. They regulate what we would describe as our immune function, our interaction with other kinds of organisms. And the latest research is suggesting that our brain chemistry, our serotonin, the way we feel on a day-to-day basis, you know, is regulated by bacteria in our body. So bacteria are very important to us, and yet we're all exposed to antibiotic drugs, antibacterial cleansing products, chlorine that's put in water to kill bacteria, and this, you know, real a whole arsenal of chemical compounds designed to, you know, kill many bacteria. And I mean, I don't mean to be, you know, I'm not opposed to the use of antibiotic drugs. I mean, I probably wouldn't be here talking about this if it weren't for antibiotic drugs. But, you know, they're wildly overprescribed in animals, even more than in humans. They're used, so we're actually ingesting antibiotic drugs in our in the water we drink, and, you know, we're all exposed to it. And so, I mean, really, in the historically, nobody ever had to think about probiotics. I mean, because there was nothing in people's lives that was destroying bacteria, and, you know, everyone was constantly ingesting bacteria. But in our contemporary context, where we're all exposed to chemicals pretty much on a daily basis that destroy bacteria, and so much of our food is processed and lifeless, you know, probiotics have become much more important. And, you know, sometimes probiotics are defined just as, you know, the capsules with specific, you know, proprietary probiotic agents. But, you know, all the bacterially rich traditional foods, you know, sauerkraut, yogurt, you know, in a traditional context, I would even say wines and beers, although most contemporary produced ones couldn't be described as probiotic. But any bacterially rich food is potentially probiotic. And you know, in terms of our microflora, the bacteria inside of us, diversity is really the name of the game. And we're, you know, we need to be you know, sort of replenishing and diversifying these organisms, so as many different kinds of fermented foods and beverages as we can drink and eat, the better. I mean, there's no one food that has it all. You know, we build biodiversity by eating a variety of different types of you know, fermented foods and beverages.
I am right there behind you. You are just, I am falling in love with you as we're talking. I'm just like, oh my God, you are so elegant, and everything you're saying is absolutely 100% true, and I back it. And I am you know, one of the things we talk about is how similar people are to plants, and how plants thrive because of the microorganisms that break down organic matter into humus. And so, this whole idea of as you just brought up, killing everything. We're going to come right back. Those of you who are listening, I know we've had a time change today. I am just thrilled. We're going to be right back talking about fermentation. Don't go away.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Janet Gardner, this is Sherry Herrera de Fry. And my guest is the amazing, amazing, wonderful Sandor Elix Katz, also known as Sandor Krauts. Did we take a break there? I am finding that we are just going to go straight through the break right now. So that was a little bit of a surprise. That's what goes on with live radio. So welcome back, Sandor. I guess because of the time change, we had a little skip there. So
okay, we missed the commercial break, but I'm fine with that. I am here. And hey, can I just comment on something that you were saying right before we took a break?
Yes, go right ahead.
So, you know, you were talking about this, you know, parallel, you know, sort of between plants and us. And there are so many parallels, but, you know, I like to think about things sometimes from an evolutionary biology perspective and, you know, really the emerging consensus in evolutionary biology is that all life is evolved from bacteria. And the corollary to that, which people don't talk about quite as much, is that no form of life has ever lived without bacteria. And, you know, plants are as dependent as we are on bacteria that live with them, that provide them with aspects of their functionality. And, you know, fermentation is pretty well universally practiced. I mean, I don't have universal knowledge. I don't know about every culinary tradition that exists or has existed on this earth, but I can't find any counterexamples, and it seems like everybody practices fermentation. And the reason I believe this is true is just because all of the plants and animals that constitute our food are covered with microorganisms. And so, you know, microbial transformation of our food is an inevitability if we're going to store our food. You know, our clever ancestors, you know, just observed how simple environmental manipulations would make the difference between food, you know, decomposing into a rotting mess that had no appeal for anyone, you know, versus, you know, microorganisms growing on the food that makes it more stable, that makes it more delicious, that makes it more digestible or less toxic in some way. And, you know, these are all the kinds of things that fermentation accomplishes for us. And if you walk into a gourmet food store and look around, almost all of the food that we elevate on this pedestal that we consider to be gourmet foods are products of fermentation. Everybody eats fermented foods every day, whether they're thinking about it or not.
Absolutely. And, you know, what you're saying is so absolutely true. The interconnectedness of all of life and how all of life began. I mean, I remember my grandmother making sauerkraut and, you know, just having this big bowl with a plate on top of it in the kitchen and it being so delicious and, you know, homemade bread and, jams and jellies. And it's funny because you have a recipe about raw tomato preserves and my grandmother used to make those raw tomato preserves. I can't believe it. I was just like,
oh, wow.
Oh,
well,
wow,
and this is
right.
Such a common theme in my conversations with people is, mm-hmm. you know, just so many of us, you know, who are, you know, in the 21st century have a memory of a grandparent who had some fermentation practice, some, you know, annual ritual, you know, that they would do that frequently didn't get passed down to our parents' generation. You know, I think, you know, just when our parents were coming of age, you know, it was the new modern world and they didn't want to be, you know, they didn't want to be tethered to the kitchen and there were all these new convenience foods. So they didn't learn a lot of that old world stuff. And I think, you know, now, you know, many people are waking up to the fact that, wow, that's really important information. We, you know, we can't lose that. Sure, nobody wants to be a slave to the kitchen all the time, but these practices really are what make the garden make sense and sort of, you know, fit into our lives and enable us to feed ourselves through the winter, you know, using this kind of wisdom. So it's really important. Like, I think a lot of us sort of bought into the idea that having a refrigerator and a freezer would mean we didn't have to do any of that stuff. But, you know, can we necessarily assume that everybody for the rest of time is going to have the energy available to them to have a refrigerator and a freezer? I mean, we really do need to, you know, sort of safeguard and pass on this, you know, critically important cultural information.
Truly, it's about sustainability. We talk about this a lot on the show, that what you're talking about is this whole hunk of information that we lost, that the last generation did not, because they were the refrigerator generation, did not, you know, the TV dinner generation didn't pass on to us. We forgot how to garden. We forgot how to deal with food in a way that we could preserve it and save it, and not have to depend on being connected to the grid all the time. And what that did is it created worse food than we've ever imagined. And we gave up our gardening rights to agribusiness, that, you know, we at first thought, well, these guys are going to look out for us. We can sit on the porch and read a book and forget about the garden. However, now we've got ourselves in trouble because we've lost our seeds. We've lost our culinary information. We forgot how to garden. And the stuff that we're being fed has been genetically modified and not good for us, and certainly not good for those important bacteria that we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I talk about it in terms of reclaiming our food. You know, we need to reclaim our food from large corporations and it's really more a positive thing. We need to reclaim our food for ourselves. You know, our food embodies our relationship with, you know, a web of life in the ecosystem right around us. You know, that includes plants, it includes animals, it includes insects, and it also includes microorganisms. And, you know, and our connection with these microorganisms is critically important. And it just, you know, all these people are experiencing, you know, sort of chronic health problems because, you know, they don't have a, you know, healthy gut microflora because, you know, they're consuming too many chemicals that, that damage it, and not enough food that replenishes it.
Absolutely. We talk a lot about healthy gut, healthy brain, and you sort of touched on that. And maybe have you talk a little bit more about that. But also, how did we get to this place where people became so fearful of bacteria and, you know, so over as far as, you know, needing to sanitize and this type of thing? How did that evolve?
Well, I mean, I think a few things happened. I mean, first of all, when microbiology began emerging as a field of inquiry, which would be, you know, sort of following Louis Pasteur's identification of yeast around, I think 1857 is the year that happened. But really, the earliest triumphs of microbiology involved identifying the pathogenic bacterial agents of infectious diseases. And also developing, sort of chemical compounds that would treat these diseases, kill these bacteria. And so I think in the popular imagination, just bacteria became bad because there were these bacteria that could make us sick, that bacteria as a group were regarded, as a threat and regarded with suspicion. And so, you know, at the same time as people were, becoming more and more distanced from the production of food in general, from their gardens, from farm animals, home preservation, you know, we also were developing this sort of like, fear of bacteria that we all, you know, got indoctrinated with, you know, this idea that, you know, germs are bad, bacteria are bad. So, now that people are wanting to, you know, reclaim their food and reclaim some of these processes that they remember their grandparents doing, you know, with a food that is as utterly simple and as intrinsically safe as sauerkraut, the number one question is, you know, how can I be sure I'm going to get, you know, good bacteria growing, healthy bacteria, rather than bacteria that might make someone in my family sick, that might kill someone? So, you know, many people feel utterly disempowered you know, just in that they feel this, you know, huge amount of fear. I would also say that canning raises the possibility of botulism. Canning is the diametrical opposite of fermentation, but because of the possibility of botulism with canning, I think we have as a culture developed just a generalized fear of food preservation and the idea that, oh, maybe this is something better left to professionals to do for us. But in fact, with fermentation, with fermented vegetables, in the United States, according to the USDA, there never has been a documented case of food poisoning from fermented vegetables. There are not many foods you could say that about, certainly not raw vegetables. So in a sense, the fermentation makes vegetables safer than they start out being. So this is really a strategy not only for preservation but for food safety because, you know, none of these scary organisms of food poisoning can exist in an acidic environment. So acidifying food, which is what happens when you ferment vegetables into sauerkraut or kimchi, none of those scary organisms can stay alive in that acidic environment.
Well, telling you're making me hungry because I love kimchi. I think I was about 11 years old when I had my first kimchi. I had a very dear friend who was Korean. Her mother was Korean. And boy, oh boy, I was invited over for dinner one time. And oh my God, I was like in heaven. But you know what you're talking about? It's very interesting. Again, another parallel between, this whole thing about, all one bacteria is bad, so they're all bad. This is actually the way I see it, it's an offshoot of this whole Western medical, profile, if you will, that came about, after World War II, and we had all these leftover products that were used to kill people, and it was, it was like, well, if they kill people, if we kind of dilute it, I bet we could kill insects. And so we sort of have the same thing in on the other side here in terms of the insect world. You know, there's no such thing as a good bug. All bugs, their only good bug is a dead bug. And you see children terrified of insects. And ladybugs are the poster child for all that's good. And so we're going to have to take a quick break. When we come back, though, we're going to be talking more about fermentation, how important it is to you, how fabulous it is for our guts and our health and the health of all of the planet. So don't go away. We will be right back.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
Had your fill of bad news, an unstable economy, fiscal cliffs, hyperinflation? Hi, everybody. Jason Lewis here. Want to push back on all this negativity? Then start with a sensible way to secure your future with MyPatriotSupply.com. Given all that's going on, it's smart to buy long-term storable food from one of the nation's leading suppliers. I've tried them and can honestly say they are hands down the best tasting, healthy, and nutritious non-GMO meals that are easy to prepare, have no added MSG, a 25-year shelf life, plus you get an emergency emergency food plan that fits any budget. Same-day shipping on all orders, free shipping on orders over $49, and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Call 866-229-0927 or click MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927 or MyPatriotSupply.com. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust, MyPatriotSupply.com. Emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there. I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNLive.com. Then shoot us an email. advertise@GCNLive.com.
March into big spring preparedness savings this month at BePrepared.com. Going on now. Emergency essentials and BePrepared.com save you 28% off your favorite beef and chicken combo entrees. Save 24% on number 10 cans of freeze-dried raspberries. Or save 26% on our freeze-dried strawberry slices with purchase of 12 or more. Katadyn Pocket Micro Water Filters are 27% off. Try our fruit-flavored HydroPack Combo Water Filtering Pouches. In March, buy 5 10-packs for a 50% discount. Stock up on wheat with a year's supply of grains for $70 off, only at BePrepared.com. And this month, power up with a Goal Zero Sherpa 50 solar-powered recharging kit at $110 off MSRP, and we'll throw in a free $50 emergency essentials gift card. The March sale ends March 31st at BePrepared.com. For contents and details, call Emergency Essentials at 800-999-1863 or click BePrepared.com. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Back, everybody. This is Sherry Herrera de Fry, and you're listening to the Easy Organic Gardener, EASY, which stands for Environmentally and Sustainably Yours. That's what it's all about, and gardening is something that is fun. It enlivens our health and keeps us in contact with all that's good. My guest is the amazing, wonderful, elegant Sandor Elix Katz, also known as Sander Kraut, and we're having a great conversation today about the absolute most important thing, I think, on the planet, which are the microorganisms, the bacteria that allow all of us to thrive. If you've got a question for myself or for Sander, let me give you the number. It's 877-300-7645. And when you call him, I'm going to give you a bottle of EM1 microorganisms. Welcome back, Sander.
So good to be here with you.
Thank you. I feel so close to you, and I just am just so delighted to have you on the show. You are something else, and what you're doing is so important. You said that about a third of all the food that we eat is worldwide is fermented, and you know, for people that are listening, so that they understand. I mean, it goes beyond pickles and beers. Tell us a little bit more about the different types of foods, and also how does fermentation help us save energy?
Okay, so I mean, just, you know, imagining your, you know, listeners listening to you in real time live, you know, if you had a piece of bread this morning as part of your breakfast, that's fermented. If you're a coffee addict and you had a cup of coffee, that's fermented. If you put some cheese on your bread or on your eggs, that's fermented. If you like to use condiments, if you had like some potatoes and put ketchup on it. That ketchup is stabilized with vinegar, which is a product of fermentation. So I mean, so many foods that are common foods. I mean, bread, cheese, salamis and hams, condiments. Chocolate is fermented. Olives are frequently fermented. Grains can be fermented. I mean, all bread involves fermentation, but grains can be fermented in other ways. Soy sauce is fermented. Fish sauce is fermented. Vinegar, which all the other condiments are based on, is fermented. You know, obviously wine, beer, and every kind of alcoholic beverages is fermented. There are also lightly fermented beverages that are not strongly alcoholic. You know, things like kombucha would be the famous one right now, but kvass is this wonderful Russian beverage that's basically dry bread re-fermented. In the Caribbean, people drink this wonderful bittersweet fermented beverage called Mabi. You know, just in many different places in the world, people drink fermented beverages. So many variations. Also, you know, yogurt, kefir, all cheeses really involve fermentation. So a vast array of foods, and it's pretty much regarded as a universal practice. When I first got serious about exploring fermentation, one place in the world that people told me that there was no fermentation was among the Aboriginal people of Australia. And then a few years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Australia, and I went on a wild foods walk. In the Australian language, they call it bush tucker. And the first thing that we stopped and talked about was a nut on the ground, and the guy said, "Well, don't try eating these now. You have to soak these in water to make them edible." Well, guess what happens when you soak a dry food in water? It awakens dormant microorganisms, and a fermentation is part of that. And it turns out that sort of, you know, detoxifying toxic foods is one very widespread application of fermentation. So there are lots of nuts and seeds that people can't eat without some sort of fermentation. And I think that the most dramatic example of this would be cassava. Cassava grown in certain soils has extraordinarily high levels of cyanide that could kill someone if they tried to eat them in an unprocessed state. And so the way this, you know, very poisonous food gets turned into, you know, something that's edible and nutritious, and in fact this is a staple that sustains about a billion people every day on this earth, is by soaking it in water. And that initiates a fermentation that basically digests the cyanide into benign forms. So detoxification, certain foods that are otherwise indigestible become digestible. I think soybeans are the clearest example of this. You know, you never hear about people cooking soybeans and then sitting down and eating a bowl of them for dinner. And if you want a memorable experience, you should try that. You know, it won't have any lasting damaging effect on your health. But, you know, you'll have a night of really painful gas and discomfort. And you know, in the Asian cultures that pioneered soy agriculture, they learned thousands of years ago that you know, they needed to ferment the soybeans to make them digestible, and that gives rise to you know, miso, soy sauce, tempeh, natto, you know, a broad array of foods. But what they all have in common is that the soy protein gets broken down into amino acids. And so the nutrient becomes much more bioavailable as a result of the pre-digestion of the fermentation.
Well, you know, you're talking about all of my favorite foods, and you know, I mean, everybody, I don't think really gets it until, you know, that we're listening to you. I mean, it's just in everything that we eat, and yet I know you've been on this crusade to bring this back, and we talk a little bit about the refrigerator, and you said this is a historical bubble, and so tell us a little bit about this crusade that you're on, and why it's so important, and why we've sort of had this, what you said, like the connection between social change and fermentation. How is this all working together?
Well, I mean, I think that it's important on a number of different levels. I mean, on one level, it's just just for our health and functionality. You know, we need a healthy, biodiverse microflora in our intestines to help our bodies function effectively. And if we're eating, only dead foods. And we are drinking chlorinated water, using antibacterial cleansing products, drinking meat and milk and water that has antibiotic residues in it. We need this replenishment of our gut microflora that we really can get quite well from eating a diet with varied live culture uncooked foods. So there's, that level, which is the sort of, functionality health level. Then if we take a step back and we're looking more at, functionality of ecosystems, well, this idea that, human beings have, removed ourselves from this equation of every other organism on the planet having to sort of like, find its food within its environment. Well, that's what connects all beings to their environment. And we have sort of taken ourselves out of this equation. So, I really think that, we all need to be trying to, become more connected to our environment and the other forms of life that we are sharing our environment with. And I think that on practical levels and spiritual levels and just ecological levels, it's really important that we become better integrated into our environments. And I think gardening, learning about the plants around you, learning about how to use those plants and in your life, those are all part of it. So I think
that's it. We're going to come right back in just a moment with Sandor Katz.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there. I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila. Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNlive.com. Then shoot us an email. advertise@GCNlive.com.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey Water Filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey Water Filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey Water Filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey Water Filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey Water Filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey Water Filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all...
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to The Easy Organic Gardener. This is Sherry Herrera de Fry. We're talking about fermentation, and I want to be sure that everybody who's listening knows where to go as far as how to learn about this to Sandor Katz's his website, which is wildfermentation.com, wildfermentation.com. Fermentation makes foods more nutritious as well as delicious. Microscopic organisms are our ancestors and our allies, and they transform food and extend its usefulness. Fermentation is found throughout human cultures. Hundreds of medical and scientific studies confirm what folklore has always known. Fermented foods help people stay healthy. And I also want to mention some of the books that Sandra has written. I have a copy of the Wild Fermentation book. I love it. His latest book is The Art of Fermentation, then followed by Wild Fermentation. He also has the Wild Fermentation zine, The Revolution Will Not Be Microwave, which I like, and the Permaculture Book of Ferment and Human Nutrition. So
that last one, I didn't write that. That's the book that was written by Bill Mollison.
Oh, yes.
Who is
okay.
The Australian fellow who sort of first coined the expression permaculture. And I've been selling that on my website because that is another excellent book about fermentation.
I'm actually going to buy it after the show, that plus the ones I don't have. You just lit me up so much today, and I think others that are listening too. I'm so appreciative of everything that you're doing, and I think a lot of our grandparents are very happy as well. It was, you know, a lot of this stuff was lost. I mean, my grandmother used to bake bread and, you know, had sourdough starter going all the time. And, I mean, I don't know, these sourdough starters, they've been passing them along forever and ever. And so...
people have been passing them along forever and ever. And many times, people on their migration journey, if they were able to bring their most precious possessions, they would bring that with them. But on the other hand, it's easy to start a sourdough. Like, you don't have to feel sorry for yourself because you didn't receive an inherited sourdough. It takes about a week. You mix flour and water together. It'll happen fastest if you use some rye flour. Organic is best. Freshly milled is ideal. But really, any kind of flour and water, there are, on all of our food, there are microorganisms. and depending on what kind of nutrient, what kind of food it is, you get different communities of organisms developing. But on all grains, there are yeast and lactic acid bacteria, and if you mix them with water and stir them, you can cultivate those organisms and use them to make bread, to make pancakes, to make kvass, to make lots of different kinds of things. That's what I mostly do, is make pancakes. I mean, just because my life has become a little bit too busy to make bread all the time. So I keep my sourdough fresh by feeding it all the time, and I make pancakes. I make savory vegetable sourdough pancakes, and that's become a staple in my life.
So I had one of my most favorite people called me on my cell phone, and I took the call. Diane Tanner has been trying to call in, I guess because of the time change, people haven't been able to call in. So engineers, if you're listening, we do have some people that are calling and would like to ask Sandra a question. One of the things that I love is this. In your introduction to The Art of Fermentation, Michael Pollan, who is just another one of my heroes, he's the author of The Omnivore's Dilemma, and he says, to ferment your own food is to lodge an eloquent protest. What is he talking about?
Well, I mean, I think that, characteristics, of food that has developed, as a result of mass production, as a result of globalization, is just, our food has become homogenized. I think, in our grandparents' time, if you traveled to a faraway land, you probably ate food that was very, very different. And in our time, if you travel to a faraway land, you probably can find food that's very different, but you also can find food that is, exactly the same products as you can buy in your supermarket. And so, I think one of the realities about fermentation is it's difficult to standardize it. It takes a lot of work to standardize it. And so, what you're going to make, whether you're making a sourdough bread, whether you're making sauerkraut, whether you're making your own wine or beer, is, you are going to, end up producing, really unique, possibly quirky products. And that's just a reality of working with microorganisms in an environment that's not totally controlled. And, I think that, looking at the big picture, this has been a source of great novelty. I mean, this is why we have all these different kinds of cheeses, for instance, is that just in different environments, different kinds of organisms grow. And so it's been a source of this great diversity. And I think that, when people take up fermentation and start sort of, cultivating a taste for, the quirky individuality of food that develops in different environments, it really is an antidote to, this sort of like homogenization that is the, hallmark of our time.
You can, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're talking monoculture, monoculture, monoculture. I mean, I had Janice Ray on the other day on the show a few weeks ago, and she was saying that in 1902, the University of Georgia found that there were over 7,000 seeds available for sale in seed catalogs, and that today 94% of them are gone. And so this whole thing with, along with saving seeds and growing our own food and then practicing the making, what we do with our food, it's very important that we all sort of take a step back and realize that if we don't, we will lose our most important inheritance.
Yeah, I absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I think that, and also the question of what we ferment. I mean, I love fermented grapes. That's wine. But, our love of wine has spawned this, incredible grape monoculture, that's present on pretty much every continent. And I think, a more practical thrust for localism would be, rather than sort of, trying to, sort of mimic the great global products, let's figure out what can we grow effortlessly where we actually live that we can ferment into wonderful products. And so I think, you know, at many levels, we have to really break out of this sort of, you know, monoculture mold.
Absolutely. It's, you know, we sort of went into it blindly. We didn't really think about the ramifications. And as you say, you know, if you were to travel, 50 years ago to Penang, for example, you would never find a McDonald's, but I bet you can find one there now. You know, it's like, holy cow, you know, you would want to see something a little different. And I'm, you know, so glad that you have taken such a stand to allow us to understand how important this is and how fun it is and how it makes a difference. We've got about 2 minutes, so I want you to be sure that you let our listeners know, you know, what when the show ends today, what is it that you want them to leave with?
Well, I mean, I would love to encourage everybody to try fermenting something. And the most straightforward way to begin a fermentation practice, I would say, is with fermenting vegetables. You know, sauerkraut, but you can work any vegetable into it. Chop up the vegetables, lightly salt them, squeeze them hard, which bruises them, breaks down cell walls and releases juices, and then stuff them into a jar so they're submerged under their own juices. And then, you know, leave it for a few days, then taste it, then press it down again, leave it for a few more days. And you start to sort of get a sense of the spectrum of flavors you can develop, and the flavor will get stronger the longer you let it sit. But I also want to just plug my website, which is wildfermentation.com. And on my website, you know, not only do I have my books available for sale, but I just have links to all sorts of fermentation-related resources, as well as a schedule of my workshops. And I do a huge amount of traveling. I'm actually leaving tomorrow to travel up to Ohio and Illinois, and I'm doing a bunch of workshops in those places. And anyway, I post my workshop schedule on my website, wildfermentation.com. And you don't need to come to one of my workshops. With information you find on the website or by checking out one of my books is all the information you need to ferment stuff at home. But
there
I mostly want to, you know, encourage people to let go of the fear and try it out.
There you go. Thank you so much, Sandar. You are the best, and thank you everyone for listening today. We'll be back with another great show. Make it a great, easy, organic gardener week. This is Sherry Herrera Day Fry.
Hi, Ted Anderson here. I'm happy to announce that the audience has increased over 200% this year, and our advertisers have sent testimonials complimenting the responsiveness. Sponsorship is critical at both local and national levels. If you have a business, product, or message that could benefit from this broadcast locally, call the station you're listening to. For national exposure, call 877-996-4327. Become a part of the Genesis team by calling your local station or call the national line at 877-996-4327.
Wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold, hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
Pure water. What could be better than the gift of health for your loved ones? And who better to help you give the gift this holiday season than BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com? If those on your gift list are drinking or bathing in unfiltered city or well water, chances are that water is contaminated with rust, bacteria, chlorine, and fluoride. For just pennies a day, Berkey Water Filters remove dangerous contaminants from both well and city water, is powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, and is great for camping and emergencies. Right now, GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems and free shipping on orders over $50. Purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of Berkey Sport bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or the new Sight Class spigot absolutely free. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.